elite secret societies per square inch than probably any other place in the world. The epicenter of the epicenter. There is a point where the area known as the City of London, the financial district, meets a place called Temple Bar, which isn't called Temple Bar because it used to be owned by the Knights Templar, who will appear in the story as we go along. And Temple Bar is the place in London which is not only the center of the British legal profession, it is the center of the global legal profession network. And these two places, massive Illuminati centers, the financial and the legal, which always go together, meet at a certain point. And at that point, they've put this massive depiction of a flying reptile in the middle of the road. Just here, that's the City of London. Just here, that's Temple Bar. And there you have that in pride of place in the center of the road. It comes up over and over again. Some of these families, because as these bloodlines we'll see this afternoon, came out of the ancient Near and Middle East, they went into Europe and they manifested as the European aristocracy and royal families. And when you look at these aristocratic families again and again, this is the Marlborough family based at Blenheim Palace, just north of Oxford in England, that one of the offshoots of whom was Winston Churchill, Prime Minister during the last war. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. And again, you have the crest, the flying reptile. It comes up again and again and again, over and over. I've got to press that harder. And this is another symbol, it seems, of this reptilian stream behind the scenes and behind our backs. The gargoyle. When you look at the great cathedrals which this Illuminati actually created on ancient pagan sites, energy sites, and the castles and the stately homes of these aristocratic lines, they're flipping flying reptiles, we call them gargoyles, all over. This is Notre Dame, but again, you see them all over the place. These different reptilian flying reptile figures all over the world. This is actually a courthouse in Dallas, Dealey Plaza. Dallas, it's got gargoyles all over it, just down from where Kennedy died. There's an airport at Denver, brand new airport, very strange place. Now, there was a guy who was the son of a German wartime U-boat captain who was brought in to build, so he was an engineer, some of the underground bases in America. And he said before he died, very strangely and very suddenly, that he actually was involved in building an underground reptilian base underneath this Denver airport. It's a brand new airport. It's supposed to be, when you go into Denver airport, very strange place, it's a plaque. It says, operated by the New World Airport Authority. Everybody's tried to trace that airport authority, New World, has never found it. And what do you find in this modern airport in Denver, on top of what this guy claims, who engineered part of it, is a reptilian underground facility? You find gargoyles of that kind. Why? They keep coming up again and again. Now, you find some also, obviously people make their own minds up, but you find some of these depictions also in the ancient world that have a very strange kind of feel in relation to the classic extraterrestrial that, of course, keeps coming up every time you talk about them, which is the grey. Now, it's interesting. Let me go back to Credo Mutua here. It seems that nothing happens in the world unless it happens in Europe or America. So, we're still arguing about whether grey aliens were found at Roswell in 1947 and whether grey aliens exist. And in that enormous continent of Africa, which no one takes any notice of, they're just a black man, they have actually been finding these beings because they die from time to time, and they have, from time to time, cut them up, the dead body, to see what the hell they are. And Credo has been at one of these, or indeed more than one of these events, and talks about it on the video. But let me tell you what he said. He said, you might call them greys in your area of the world, but they're not grey. He said, when you cut through the outer shell, He said, that's what it is. It's not skin. It's not an outer body. It's a phenomenal material, which is immensely strong. Not very thick, but immensely strong. And in his own words on the video, he said, you have to not just have a sharp axe, you have to have a new sharp axe to break out of this, through this outer shell. He said, and the big black eyes, he said, are not eyes. He said they are very sophisticated material. You might call them goggles, which protect the real eyes from the sun, because these beings seem to have a problem being out in bright sunlight. Dracula could go out in sun, remember? And he said, when you break through, what you find inside is a pinky-colored being. And indeed, in that state in Black Africa, they're called pinky-pinky, those people that have found them. And they have scaled skin, like a fish, as he said, and their eyes go straight down like a reptile. They are an expression, an offshoot of the reptilian genetic stream. So, what happened as I'm putting together this research is that this interbreeding, which I'm focusing on in this area of the world, it went around the world in other places, as I've talked about, but from this area of the world has come the bloodlines which have manifested overwhelmingly as the people in the positions of power. They moved across by land through various periods of time. They went through the name of the Phoenicians round to Britain about 3000 BC, I'll talk about that this afternoon, and basically they populated Europe. But within these bloodlines, or within these races that moved across in their various forms to populate Europe, were these hybrid bloodlines, which again and again, as you do the genealogical research, which is very painstaking, ended up in the positions of power which moved the world in a certain direction. And I'm going to come to that in a second when we get to the bloodlines. Now, what these bloodlines did was create a secret society network, which I'll talk about in more detail this afternoon, which kept the people in ignorance overwhelmingly that the bloodlines existed, and also using things like inquisitions and what have you, sucked ancient knowledge and esoteric knowledge out of the public domain into the hands of the few, so they could be in complete ignorance of what was really possible and who they really were. Press your arty, your prat. Prison without the bars. Over a period of time, there has been an evolution as these bloodlines have moved into the modern world. From over control by them manifesting as royal kings and queens and such like, where you know where you are, you're in a dictatorship, they aren't elected, they just come in by bloodline. There has been a movement from the prison with bars, which you can see, to the prison without bars that you can't. There's two types of control. There's the dictatorship you can see, Nazi fascism, Stalinist communism, apartheid regime in South Africa. You know where you stand. You can touch it, you can feel it, you can taste it. And you can focus on that because you know that's your controller. Now, dictatorships like that have a finite life. Because in the end, the human desire for freedom will at some point rebel against that. Much better if you move, and this is what's happened, from overt control to covert control, the prison without the bars. And what has happened is that as these bloodlines have expanded across the world, first going into Europe and then through the British Empire, which wasn't the British Empire at all, it was the Illuminati Empire based in Britain, and through the other European empires, these bloodlines came out to the Americas, to Australia, to Africa, the Far East, etc. And at that point, because of the empires, etc., and the colonies, there was over control by the Illuminati in Europe. You knew where you stood. Look, we're a colony. They tell us over there, thousands of miles away, what to do. What has happened, particularly in this century, earlier in North America, is that they have given the illusion of pulling back that control through independence. But as they have on the surface moved out of Africa, moved out of America and out of Canada. They're not so much out of Canada. What they've left behind are the secret society networks through which they operate and the bloodlines which enter the positions of power. And I'll give you a wonderful example of what I mean. No better example than this. During the apartheid regime in South Africa, there was overt control. They knew where they stood. They had never had a vote. They never had a say. A small clique of white people were controlling the vast majority. You could see it. You could touch it. You knew where you were. As a result of that, a build-up of resistance both within South Africa and increasingly outside South Africa built up, and eventually the apartheid regime had to fall. That was overt control gone. But before, this is provable, before Mandela was brought from Robben Island and a black face was put in the presidency, a small clique of European controlled families, very small clique, controlled more than 80% of the stock on the South African stock market. They owned the diamond mines and the gold mines on which the economy depends, and they controlled the media through various frontmen. Then we had this massive movement to freedom. You give black people a vote every few years, but you stitch it up so only one party's going to get in anyway, so whoever's leading that is your guy. Now, 5 years after Mandela, now we have Thabo Mbeki, his successor in power, many things have changed. On the surface they have, underneath, nothing. The same people who during apartheid held all that power still hold it. The same families still control more than 80% of the stock on the South African stock market. They still own the diamond and gold mines on which the economy depends, and they still own the media through various frontmen, not least an Irishman called Tony O'Reilly. Henry Kissinger's mate and the Rockefeller's mate. So nothing has changed. All that's happened if we've moved from overt to covert control, but now, even though the same people are controlling South Africa as before, where is all this shout about human rights? Where are all the banner wavers? Human rights, apartheid, freedom! They've gone off somewhere else. Oh yes, South Africa's sorted. No! Just appears to be. And I talked to Winnie Mandela, who came to one of my talks. She seems to understand that this is what's happened. It's all a scam. And this has happened in Canada, still controlled from Britain. About time we got Madam off the bloody money, it seems to me. America still controlled from Britain. And of course the manipulation through Illuminati operations like the UN Food Program. Look what she said, Catherine Bertini, Executive Director of the UN World Food Program. Food is power, we use it to change behavior. Some may call it bribery, we do not apologize. Africa is free? Nowhere's free. We just lost the plot because we think it is, because we have a vote for a series of puppets controlled by the same people. Which puppet of the Illuminati do you want this week? Oh, I think I'll have that one. It's nice, it smiles nice. Whoever gets in power, the same things happen because the same force is in control. Now, this is stunning, it seems to me. Given, I'm going to finish the morning on this. Let's bring this from the ancient world in its tenuous kind of esoteric kind of way, whack bang into the modern world. When you do the genealogy, I said earlier that the Sumerian tablets and other accounts say that this hybrid bloodline, this Nephilim, as the Bible talks about, were put into the positions of ruling royal power, the divine right to rule by your bloodline. When you do the genealogy, and I've gathered together from different sources, some of which are trying to expose the manipulation, most of which are just genealogical sources, and when you pull it all together, and I have to say this is an interim report because it's so painstaking, some astonishing things start to appear. We're going to start, and this is one bloodline. One, and it's offshoots. It's very near offshoots. I've called it the Windsor Bush bloodline. When you start to understand how this works, you are able, not through prophecy, not even through genius, to predict that George W. Bush, 3 years ago, is going to be pretty close to the presidency, if not in presidency itself. Here he is now, one step from it as I talk. We start this bloodline with the ancient royal lines of Egypt, Sumer, the Phoenicians, another very, very advanced people from the ancient Near and Middle East, Babylon, which was seems to be the reptilian center of these bloodlines in the ancient world, Troy and Greece. Incidentally, what kind of happened was this Illuminati was based in Babylon, and when it moved to Rome, it moved its epicenter to Rome. That's when we had the Roman Empire. And then more recently, I'll come to this afternoon, it moved its epicenter to London. That's when we had the British Empire. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. So this bloodline comes down through Philip of Macedonia, the father of Alexander the Great, who before the age of 33, when he died in Babylon, took over the whole of that area you keep seeing on that repeating map. Egypt, Babylon, right up into India, etc. Took over the whole thing. This same bloodline comes down through Cleopatra, the Cleopatra, Julius Caesar, Mark Antony, Herod the Great, the king in the Jesus stories, and through the Piso family, a Roman aristocratic family, who, as I will talk about a little more this afternoon, but particularly in my book, The Biggest Secret, and particularly on a website called the Piso homepage, the evidence is very compelling that the Piso family wrote the original gospel stories. Now, same bloodline, Constantine the Great, the Roman Emperor, who in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea took those gospel stories and turned them into the religion we call Christianity as we know it today through something called the Nicene Creed. The coincidences are amazing. It comes down through the Merovingians in France. Now, the Merovingians have had a lot of stuff written about them recently in books like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and others relating to the same story, indicating that the Merovingians have a right to rule because they are the bloodline of Jesus. Well, I think some people have misdirected us in that way by genuine accident, and I think there are some, particularly one, if you look in my website, who is misdirecting us absolutely knowingly to think that it's some bloodline of Jesus when actually it's a reptilian bloodline. He's a guy who is actually the current head of an ancient society called the Royal Court of the Dragon. The Merovingians were the people that founded Paris. They came, they knew their bloodline came from Troy and the Trojan Wars. So they named Paris after one of the people involved in the Trojan War stories, Prince Paris. They worshipped an ancient goddess, which these ancient people very much did, called the goddess Diana, a goddess of the moon. Just outside the original Paris, the Merovingians, they built sacrificial chambers, underground chambers, for their rituals to the goddess Diana. Where they built those chambers is now called the Pont d'Alma Tunnel, where Diana, Princess of Wales, died in the car crash. Pont d'Alma actually means bridge or passage of the moon goddess, which is what Diana was supposed to be. That was a ritual murder when you see the massive symbolism and other evidence surrounding it. The Merovingians, they come through to the Windsors, we'll see that. Now, Charlemagne was the most famous monarch of what we now call France. Massively powerful. Many offshoots came from him. 33 of the 42 presidents of the United States, from Washington to Clinton, go back to this guy alone. How many hundreds of millions of people have lived in the United States since 1776? Hundreds and hundreds of millions. Not only that, they come from a pool of a gene pool of amazing diversity to create the people we call Americans. You would think that of the 42 that have become presidents of the United States, there might be a bit of genetic diversity. Bit of a chance. No. Because presidents are not selected or elected by ballot. They are selected by blood. And we're having another experience of that at this very time in America. Comes down through the Habsburgs. Massively powerful. The most powerful family in the so-called Holy Roman Empire for centuries. Come down through the de' Medici family and the House of Lorraine. The de' Medici family and the House of Lorraine employed two people. Both of them did. And there's an interesting background to the two people they employed. One was called Christopher Columbus. Both major Illuminati bloodlines. This one, massively so today, very much involved in the reptilian research, the area of Lorraine near the French-German border. And the other person, both of these Illuminati families with the underground stream of knowledge they were keeping from everybody employed, was a man called Nostradamus. The reason Nostradamus had phenomenal knowledge compared with the rest of the population, I'm not saying it was a bad man or anything like that, I'm just saying where he got it from. This underground stream that has been keeping it from the rest of us all this time, right to the present day. So the bloodline continues. Comes down through the Plantagenet royal dynasty that manifested out of France into Britain. King John, who signed the Magna Carta. The kings of England, Henry I, II, and III. The Stuart dynasty. The Georges, George III there, involved when the Declaration of Independence happened in the United States. Through these Edwards to Queen Victoria, a German bloodline on the British throne. All the way through all these others up to the present day. Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Charles, and right down to the present day. It goes through the French royal dynasties, right the way through these to Louis XVI and his wife, Marie Antoinette, who were both killed in the French Revolution. And one of their children, very small boy at the time, one of the princes, escaped that. And eventually, thanks to King George III of England, because they're all connected, he was brought to the United States under the name Daniel Payzer. When you do the research into the background of who really controlled the major, major industrial companies of America like Carnegie and Morgan, etc., you find that was the guy who owned the holding company that owned the flipping lot. Same again, same bloodline. This bloodline comes down through the presidents, George Washington, again a British aristocratic bloodline, through all these down to the present day and down to Jeb Bush, George Bush's son, who's governor of Florida, and George W. Bush, who has a great chance of being the next president of the United States. There we go. Here comes the son. God, he's shape-shifted. No, he's not. No, he's all right. No, he's all right. But it is amazing that when you start to do the research of where this bloodline goes, you can start to predict where these various people are going to come from in the positions of power. What a coincidence that during the Gulf War, George Bush, Dan Quayle, his vice president, and Colin Powell, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, same bloodline, all involved in the Gulf War. It comes down through the Scottish bloodline families. Scotland's a major, major center where these bloodlines came out of. Comes down through Kaiser Wilhelm II, the guy at the time of the First World War. Maximilian, the Emperor of Mexico, he was a Habsburg. Down through the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and the ruling financial and business elite of today. And that was a very symbolic picture, I felt. That's straight out of a newspaper. They put those two together. I don't know if they're trying to tell me something or what. But this guy, Al Gore, is also the same bloodline. Hence, he's now one of the two running for president. And so is this. Which answers one of the great mysteries of our time. When I was a kid, I couldn't work out why, wherever she went in this regalia, Madam had to carry this thing behind her, this train thing. Well, now it can be revealed. It was to hide a friggin' tail. So obviously, that's what it was about. And it's funny, though, how this thing comes together. There's a newspaper, you might have seen it, called the Fortean Times. Well, when I started to get this stuff out, because everyone thinks you're a bloody loony, I ain't bothered, I probably am, but they put a front page on. They were going to take the, they're taking the piss really, because you know being brainless is not essential to work for 14 times, but it does not help with promotion, you know. But they came up with this, which is quite an interesting one. This is their front page, and it's kind of an extraordinary thing to get our minds around, that actually this stuff could be true. At the very least, as we move along in this, there is a case to answer and many questions about what the friggin' hell is going on. And it's interesting, I'll finish on this, another 22 minutes little clip coming up. It's one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen on television, I must say. They wouldn't do it in Europe. But you have a Governor General, right, who is the Queen's representative in Canada. And they're just symbolic heads. They just do as they're bloody told. The real stuff goes on underneath and behind the scenes. But the way that this Illuminati have created this web works like this. I've been in 25 countries in about 3.5 years, and that gives me the gift of seeing that what appears to be happening in one country, if that's the only place you live, is actually happening everywhere. The same legislation's coming in, the same things are happening, the same solutions are being given to the problems. And the reason and the way that that can happen is this. It's a web. You have the epicenter in London, other places too, but particularly London. Then in the various countries, America, Canada, South Africa, wherever, you have what I call the bloodline branch managers. And what they do is orchestrate around them in their particular country, their sphere of influence, the financial, political, media control to bring into their sphere of influence whatever they are told to. So from the epicenter comes, now is the time to play this card. This is what we want to happen in the world. Down it comes to the bloodline branch managers like the Rockefellers in America and stuff. And they then orchestrate their country to deliver what is being centrally demanded. So when you're people like me who are traveling around the world all the time, you're going, my God, this is happening everywhere. This is how it works. And so the Governor General in Canada is just a symbolic person, but it's extremely symbolic of the way it works, with the representatives of the different countries orchestrating that country in line with the central agenda. What happened here is that this lady, for people that don't know, I'm sure everyone knows here, I've just learned it, used to be a television presenter, this present Governor General. And what 22 Minutes did was turn up at one of her official functions and ask a few questions. This is what happened. And that's an amazing example of the energy that's starting to change, where we stop running, we stop touching our caps and kowtowing to this network of control, and we start saying, I am me, I am free, and we start running it in.